The following is the first Marine Aircraft Wing taped historical interview. The interview is Major William W. Smith, 074210, United States Marine Corps. He is the avionics officer attached to MAG 16, Marble Mountain Air Facility in the Republic of Vietnam. The interviewer is Lance Corporal Robert J. Edwards, 2340257, United States Marine Corps. This interview takes place at Marble Mountain Air Facility in the Republic of Vietnam on 22 October 1968. The subject of this interview is problems encountered and lessons learned in avionics and personnel. The events described in this interview occurred during the period February 1968 through October 1968. This interview is unclassified.
I'm the group avionics officer. I've been in country since February 1968 to this date. Lessons learned are numerous. I'll try to hit the highlights of it. First of all, on personnel. Personnel planning for avionics personnel should be a matter of consideration by the personnel division at Headquarters Marine Corps for lead time training required to fill specific billets for the various types of helicopters we are using here in country. This group has five different aircraft, five different avionics systems. Basically, the black boxes or the communications navigation systems require very little cross-training of personnel. But the aircraft itself, for instance, the CH-46, the CH-53, the CH-34, the UH-1 Echo, and the OV-10, and in the future, the Huey Cobra, the 1H UH-1G. These aircraft all have different electrical systems and associated components. When training personnel, they have to be trained on a specific aircraft to be of any value, and they should be designated as trained on that aircraft by an MOS. The MOS structure at the present time does not differentiate between the different types of helicopters used. For instance, the 6242 is a helicopter slant transport electrician. This means he is an electrician, basically. It doesn't mean he's an electrician for a 46 or a 53 or a Huey or a 34. We have to find this out after we get him out here. And the personnel people at headquarters do not differentiate when they assign personnel from the stateside units to this organization. All we know is we got a helicopter type electrician. This puts us in the ballpark, but it does not give us a position to play with the man. Basically, the MOS is nothing more than a ballpark. What we need is something to designate the man's position he's going to play. If we could have this, then we would be able to work a little bit more efficiently and without having to train people in country to do a specific job. This is basically on the 6242. It should apply to other MOSs, but I think it should be basically concerned with the aircraft electrician. The 6212, communications navigation technician for helicopter slant transport, is almost in the same category, but he can be used on any aircraft that we have in the system as long as all aircraft have the same black boxes. Once we start differentiating with black boxes, such as with the UH-1G, the Huey Cobra, H1, 1H1G, I believe, a Huey Cobra, this aircraft will have several new items that are not in the Marine Corps or Navy inventory. They are strictly Army inventory. And again, the 6212 will have to be trained in this particular aircraft black box system. And again, we have a ballpark instead of a position for the MOS. We need a definite MOS structure that will pinpoint the man's ability and not which ballpark he's going to play in. The next subject I would like to cover is power units, field power units for supplying power for the avionics complexes. The avionics complex is basically powered by 400 cycle field generators. These complexes vary in demand, kilowatt demand, over a wide area, depending upon the number of vans required. The present plans for MAG 16's van structure or avionics complex will embody some 21 vans. This does not include any proposed support for the Huey Cobra. The 21 vans basically support five different aircraft, plus the needed ground support equipment that we are working on, such as generators and air conditioning units and things of this nature. And in this area, the power requirements cannot be met by local field generators that are used by the Marine Air Base Squadron to support the camp facilities. We have to have separate power units to support the avionics complex. And the present size of these units is in the 45 kilowatt range. This necessitates as high as 10 generators being online to support the complex. This means 10 generators having a possibility of breakdown. This means 10 levels of stock requirement to back this equipment up. Instead of having two generators of sufficient size, one online and one in standby, we have to have 10 online and none in standby. And this makes a complete logistics picture to support these things that is unwarranted. If we had generators of sufficient size, we could have a much easier logistics picture and less personnel required to maintain them. So something should be done with the power situation for avionics complexes. We have sent, in the past 8 months that I've been in this organization, 11 generators to overhaul. Some of them only had 6 to 8 months service prior to going to overhaul in the previous period. And these generators need a technician to take care of them, need a technician to maintain them, and a technician to operate them. These are not provided for in the organizational structure. This is one of the things we have to get into the organizational structure within the avionics group, as a diesel mechanic slant electrician. They're not provided for in our present organization. We have to draw these from the MABS, and those personnel in the MABS are hard-pressed to keep up with their own heavy equipment and electrical needs for the camp. Next subject would be modification of aircraft in the field. At the present time, we are working on the UH-1 Echo aircraft, modifying this aircraft to take the KY-28 comm security type equipment for air-to-air secure voice systems and the air-to-ground secure voice system. This modification basically takes an aircraft out of operation for 2.5 days here in country. It takes a special team of civilians to come in and modify the aircraft. It takes special tooling and special logistics support to modify these aircraft in the field. The present situation is we are accomplishing this thing. We have accomplished one other mod in the field on the H-34 aircraft in the April through June period of this year. We modified 81 aircraft with new avionics equipment. We were able to do this because we had adequate facilities for in the field. But when we move from this location, if we do, or to go to any other field or operational area where we do not have adequate facilities, it would be very impractical to try to operate a field mod program. Yet we have been forced to accept these field mod programs and make do with what we have, and we just don't have the facilities here to provide the necessary background or maintenance of these field mod teams. They cause quite a logistics problem, quite a bit of abnormal IMA maintenance activity. I have one other afterthought on personnel. The business of stabilizing a squadron to go aboard ship for a period of 3 to 6 months. This stabilizing the personnel requirements of a squadron for shipboard duty puts a demand on the entire group. It does not put a demand just on the headquarters and maintenance squadron intermediate maintenance activity. It puts a demand on the entire group. There is no one squadron able to augment a shipboard squadron with sufficient personnel without depleting the entire resources of one particular squadron. In order to meet these requirements, we have to go to each squadron and take, at times, their key personnel due to MOSs and rank requirements to fill the needs of a squadron going aboard ship. The best thing we can do in this area is to stabilize a squadron from the time it is organized and sent out here to the time it returns. I think they ought to rotate the whole squadron as an entity without having to keep filling it up from time to time, because this depletes our entire trained personnel in the group. It does not just affect one squadron, but it affects the entire squadron, and to outfit one squadron at the expense of others is not in the best interest of the operation and the mission capability of the group.